B-Pod Studios.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, watch us on Twitch. Follow 98.5 Sports. Rich, what's going on?
Oh, it's time to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to them armpits of America. Oh, Dan doesn't have that right there. Sorry about that. That is on me. can you just do the theme song for me?
No. I can't do it.
No.
There it is.
You don't drink
Look
your
at Dan
mama.
On the spot.
Your.
Who else in the love car say yay? Yeah.
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
All right, Rich will name a story. You'll give us three options where it occurred, and then we will hear the news story. Rich, what do you got?
A ninja who liked to, instead of fight crime, take down other ninja assassins who just like kicking cars, was arrested for vandalism and other charges. Which state did this happen in? Was it Georgia, Pennsylvania, or Maine?
Well, I have to think of where the most people that have studied the disciplines of the Far East live.
I'm inspired by my trip to Gatlinburg, where they had
sword. Based on the story we talked about yesterday, I'm going Georgia.
See, I'm saying ninjas maybe not working so well now because you could do one of them things with a gun where you just shot. They could jump out of a tree and like hit you, and you could turn around and shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
Your sword's not going to do much to me once I have a semi-automatic weapon. I'm going to say Delaware because you said Delaware.
No, I said Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Maine.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
How about that, Fred? Yes.
Wow.
Let's go to Pennsylvania, shall we, and meet the ninja.
I was just watching Mayor of Easttown or whatever it is.
Sure. Have you finished it?
I'm halfway through the last episode.
It's great.
Halfway through the last
It's great.
Episode.
It's one of the few shows that's like a mystery whodunit show where I think almost 70% of the cast members at one point, I think, did it.
Yeah.
It's so well written.
All right. Yeah, but then it's like they solved everything and now there's still 40 minutes left of it.
Oh, they didn't solve everything. See, ooh. I thought the same thing. I was like, what? They got like a whole most of an episode left. I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, my. Well, mm-hmm. I got to watch some more of it. All right. Here we go.
And tonight, the man who calls himself the Uniontown Ninja is behind bars. Action News reporter Ashley Hardway talks to a neighbor who almost became a victim.
2 years ago, this Fayette County neighborhood was terrorized by a sword-wielding ninja. Well, after a lengthy investigation, state police say they finally unmasked their suspect.
I can't believe he's doing that again. How dumb are you? You know what I mean?
Braddock Avenue residents certainly haven't forgotten about the ninja that wreaked havoc on their vehicles 2 years ago.
He came up the alley and he must have seen I had a camera out. And he went back down the alley. He busted into my neighbor's cars and bashed the windows out. Then he went up the street and bashed into their windows.
Neighbor's surveillance cameras even captured the pretend warrior as he prowled.
Pretend warrior?
Yeah.
Okay. A little respect.
Bringing those damn Hondas to justice.
Enough editorializing here. I mean, now you're casting aspersions at the guy. Yeah, he's a ninja. He's wreaking havoc in the neighborhood.
Neighbor's surveillance cameras even captured the pretend warrior as he prowled around. After 2 years of wondering who he was, state police say they have their guy. The suspect is Justin Gelotz, who investigators say confessed to a recent robbery, a burglary, and the ninja attacks.
He did. He referred to himself as the Uniontown Ninja.
You glad he's in custody?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was keeping the place a little safer for all of us.
And, like, good luck keeping him in jail. You know he's just going to, like, climb through the ceiling and get out of there. Yeah. You know he can dislocate his wrist and get out of the handcuffs.
Yeah, that's better than me shooting him with a 20-gauge or something.
I like how he throws it in there. Like, yeah, you know, he's a ninja, but I'm rootin' tootin' guy.
I like how he was, like, disappointed he didn't get to shoot him. Yeah, I guess it's cool that he's in there, but would have rather shot him.
Well, in a year, you're going to have Yosemite Sam was around the neighborhood. He was the Pennsylvania Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, that's better than me shooting him with a 20-gauge or something.
Police arrested Jalotz this weekend for DUI after he allegedly caused a disturbance. Investigators say he was again dressed in all black and during questioning admitted to the crimes. Residents here are just glad this case is closed and they don't have to worry about any more bizarre acts of vandalism.
It would have been like that Indiana Jones movie. He would have went, ha, 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 and I would have bang. And that would have been it.
It's true. He just said what I said. Again, the ninja thing's not going to... A ninja dressed as a ninja with a sword. If a guy's holding a gun at you, that's not going to do you a lot of good.
He does sound a little like faster guy there, doesn't he?
Let me hear that guy's voice one more time. That's a little bit of faster guy.
With the ha-ha guy?
Yeah, that guy.
This case is closed, and they don't have to worry about any more bizarre acts of vandalism.
It would have been like that Indiana Jones movie. He would have went, ha-ha-ha-ha, and I would have bang. And that would have been it.
Mm-hmm.
Redondo is doing pretty good this year.
Redondo. I miss that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little like it.
He used to wear the little red hat.
That's right. That's why. Yep.
Like, all right, Rich, what else do we have?
All right, crowds of drive-through customers are wondering why the line wasn't moving when they realized that the restaurant's lone worker was busy in the dining room giving someone a tattoo. Did that happen in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
I was going to guess that. I'll go North Carolina now.
What did you say, Fred? Which one?
Tennessee.
You are both incorrect. Let's go to South Carolina, shall we?
Caught on camera, a local fast food joint transformed into a tattoo parlor over the weekend. And in case you're wondering, no, it wasn't supposed to be. Well...
This is local news. Local news guy.
Ooh, you suck.
It wasn't supposed to be.
In case you're wondering. No. Well, first of all, good on you for capturing this huge deal in the community. And second of all, I like your exasperation.
Over the weekend. And in case you're wondering, no, it wasn't supposed to be. Well... This is the video captured by a customer in the drive-thru after getting upset at the local McDonald's on Fleming Street in the city of Lawrence Friday night. But law enforcement...
All right, Mr. Deep Breath.
Breathy von Breathenstein.
All right, Darth Vader.
Friday night. But law enforcement DHEC not laughing tonight after they say this is video showing an employee giving a tattoo to someone in the lobby as folks waited for hours in the drive-thru line.
Oh, well, I mean, waiting for hours in the drive-thru line?
I mean, at some point you cut your losses.
Fast food. It's the same thing as Marshall Hook going and waiting at that Motel 6 for 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's fast food. Just move on. You know, cut your losses and move on.
Go get yourself a Baconator across the street.
Yeah, exactly. This is a... Well, I'll give him one more hour, then I'm going to get plumb mad.
Sir, what do you think about this? Should you move?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are you related to Bob Wiley, the offensive line coach?
Yes, yeah.
Now, listen, do you and Pasta Joe share an affinity for ordering Uber Eats Taco Bell at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. I still follow Pasta Joe on Twitter.
Yeah, every once in a while, just like tweet out, craving a sandwich.
Or he'll go like, you know what's grinding my gears is when Uber Eats drops off food before yours. Screw them.
Cody, I'm not sure that a McTap...
And I'm not sure that you have long to live, sir.
Well, no, this is... Tossing it from one guy to the guy in the field, and they're both very.
It sounds like Blue Velvet. I mean, right. They're just taking big nitrous.
Cody, I'm not sure that a Mick tattoo is listed as a.
All right, you all need to get out of whatever you're doing and leave your profession.
Bang!
Well, that's not very nice.
Pasta Joe, would you be a better newscaster than these two people?
Yeah.
I got to go through some of his tweets because they are great. It's a man sitting in a home.
Sure.
Like some gambling site where they had like where you could do a $25 free bet. Mm-hmm. And he's like, here comes the dinero.
Cody, I'm not sure that a McTattoo is listed as a menu item on any McDonald's in the entire country. Nevertheless, to the utter shock of...
Oh, my God. Shut up.
This is such local news.
Yeah, you're in a bunker in Nam. To the utter shock. You know what happens when you go to McDonald's and, like, you go and they're not taking your order? You leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably don't even mention it to anyone.
Yeah.
Boston Joe, you would be fed up, but would you call the police?
Yeah.
Oh, I stand corrected. You would.
Shock of neighbors. That's what happened here. McNuggets, McDouble, McChicken, and...
I guess you could say he got a McTat.
Well, that was so nice we said it twice.
Yeah, you made the joke. You had the joke in your story that was pre-planned, and then you said it's so good, I'm going to put it in the setup, which is 10 seconds before the joke is delivered.
But and also, that is a very loose definition of a joke.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
One of these is not like the other. This video was shot by a...
Okay. Where is this?
South Carolina. Not a... Well, it depends on what part of South Carolina this happened in. Not a small market if it's Charleston.
I mean, that's a small market.
Maybe it's Myrtle Beach.
Oh, good. Well, they got their own things. Like when the Blues Brothers review, get sick. More like Blues Tattoo. The Blues Brothers review that's been there for the last 70 years.
Bagel Bites.
Yeah, thank you, Positive Joe.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Can you picture them both whittling? Like... This is a conversation with Tomasa Joe and his coworker when they were doing overnight security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you just see a guy...
Fritos and beef.
Did you guys just see someone come in and steal a bunch of plutonium?
Yeah.
Are you just going to sit here and not do anything?
Yeah.
One of these is not like the other. This video shot by a customer who drove around wondering why their food was taking so long and...
otherwise known as the world's biggest loser. What's going on? I gotta investigate and drive around.
Drove around wondering why their food was taking so long in the McDonald's on Fleming Street in Lawrence is something Tiffany Lawson says she would have never expected.
Shocked. Like, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff in Lawrence County, but as far as that, shocked.
Oh, yeah, of course. Everything you just said was entirely easy to understand.
Greenville Market, apparently, this is.
Yeah.
The Greenville Market.
Yeah. No, I got it. She was so well spoken. Let me hear this again.
Shocked. Like, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff in Lawrence County, but as far as that, shocked.
Maybe bust the drunk driver that's walking around the, driving around the McDonald's. And say, no.
It's boom hour. It's king of the hill.
Cody, I haven't seen that TikTok video, but I'm dying to get a hold of it and check it out for myself. Look forward to seeing it. Back to you guys.
So I guess you're doing a report on a video you haven't seen?
Yeah, like...
What are we doing here?
What happened?
Greenville?
So someone didn't come... So wait, the news story is people waited for their McDonald's. It never came. And the worker, by the way, the lone worker at the McDonald's. So it's a McDonald's where one person is working, which doesn't seem to be by the book.
Sure.
That seems like that would take long enough as it is.
Mm-hmm.
They would be running around doing many things.
Yes.
So the story is you didn't see the video and that people waited around for McDonald's for a very long time. And there's word on the street that it was a tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, Woodward and Bernstein, move over. There is a new sheriff in town. Out of all the stories we've ever played, that's the dumbest story that we've ever played.
So he said, if you leave a fast food drive-thru to, quote, investigate what's going on inside, the guy giving tattoos is no longer the villain in the story.
No.
That is correct.
No, the guy with the tattoo at least has a skill, and at least he owns something that can make him money. What's going on in here? Well, there's a guy giving a tattoo. Call the news. Hey, Joe, I know you wanted to freelance some news stories. Can you get out there and cover this for us?
Yeah.
Right. You'll be there lickety-split, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, did we just wake you up after a 72-hour sleep?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Bagel bites.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
He's just demanding them.
Joe, when you couldn't get your Taco Bell and you went home, what did you have to resort to eating?
Bagel bites.
Okay, but that wasn't so bad, was it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have mixed feelings on it. That's the dumbest. Well, I haven't seen the video. Because
but I'll report on it.
Once we get our hands on that smoking gun video, the guy getting a tattoo. That story was McDonald's had bad service. Again, cut your losses. Again, no one owes you McDonald's.
That's a great shirt.
Yeah,
like, no one owes you McDonald's.
Yes, if you go and it's closed, you know, tough luck. You know, move on. I think you'll be able to get it some other point in your life. Do you have your Wheaties jacket on, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Oh, that's Joe.
Excitement.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. When you heard about this story in the newsroom, Joe, what was it?
Excitement.
Okay, very good. All right, Bert Breer is going to join us.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The Patriots play tonight, and we figured we'd have a bunch of Patriot guys on tomorrow, so we're having Bert on a week early to talk about all the goings-on in the NFL. We'll have him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Bert.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Where are you now?
I'm home. Home now, actually. Yeah, I got home Monday. I'll go back out next week. Went and visited the Washington people because it was efficient for me to do that over in Providence yesterday. So, not as much travel after this, but I did I think it was 13 teams in 12 days or something like that.
I was seeing little snippets of things that would pop up and news stories that involved you and all these people you were talking to. I know there was you sat down with Jimmy Garoppolo, which it kind of made out of all the little nuggets that you got going around. What was the one that stood out as being, all right, well, this has got some real substance here?
The Niners quarterback situation to me is so interesting just because I think Kyle Shanahan is thinking outside the box and he's not looking at this as an either or proposition. And that's the way Kyle's always been. If you look at his history, I mean, the way they used Robert Griffin III when he was a rookie in Washington, I think the way that they handled Jimmy Garoppolo when they traded for him 3 years ago. So, I think the most interesting thing was probably that the Niners don't view their quarterback decision as binary and that they may platoon them. They may use them in different ways. They may use them in different spots. And that they've sort of convinced, Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo that both of them are going to have important roles for the team in the fall.
All right. Shanahan's a pretty open guy. Is he the most open coach that you talk to?
I've always found him to be pretty open with me. I mean, I think, and he's, like, I think he looks at this stuff as pretty common sense. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he feels like there's, I don't think he feels like everything's a state secret. Now, there's stuff he won't tell you. And there's stuff that he stays away from.
He tells Dan Soder. I'll tell you that much.
But there's stuff, but I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that he views as sort of harmless to talk about, you know? And so, and he's like a really good communicator too.
He is
so,
not
like,
wild about Garoppolo. That is that, that we know as a show, as a fact.
I mean, there are two reasons. There are two things that they haven't been, I think, wild about with Garoppolo. Number one is not Jimmy's fault. Just can't stay healthy, right? Like, he missed almost the entire 2018 season. He missed the end of last year. I mean, he's been unavailable for about half of the games that he's been the starter in San Francisco. So that's not great, right?
Yeah.
The second piece of it is he freelances a little bit too much. And I think as much as they've tried to show him the systems, the system will work for you, they haven't quite been able to get him to get the most out of the system, which is frustrating for a coach like
they think Kyle. He's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they think he's dumb.
No, they do.
Just can't get the offense, is what you're saying.
No, no, they think he's dumb.
He's not football smart.
They call him Dirk Diggler.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, if you look at the quarterbacks, like, honestly, like, one of the things they loved about Trey Lance is how smart he is. Like, that was one of the reasons why. So, like, the difference physically between Mac Jones and Trey Lance is obvious, right?
Right.
So, really what pushed Trey over the top for Kyle and those guys was meeting with him and figuring out, like, oh man, this guy isn't very far behind Mac when it comes to football IQ. He just hasn't played as much. He just hasn't been in a, you know, big time college program the way that Mac has. But, you know, like, the guy's actually really, really smart. So I think the same way the Patriots do, Kyle really values football intelligence. And yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's, I don't know that they've been able to get Jimmy to do what they tell him to do quite as much as they would like.
Okay, now
freelance is too much is the best way to put it, though.
Okay,
yeah, and they think he's dumb. But the but all right, so you were just in Washington. Washington plays tonight in, here in Foxborough. What is your read on that team? And specifically, one of the interesting things that we talked about, I don't know what the situation is now, is obviously Ron Rivera's health situation, and that team seemed to be falling behind everyone else in terms of getting vaccinated for COVID, much to the public frustration of Rivera. How has that thing worked out?
It's going better. I mean, like, I think he's still frustrated, though. He's immunocompromised.
Right.
He still has to do things. Like, you know, I was with him last night. He, like today, he'll get to the stadium early before the team, and he'll take a nap. And the reason why he's doing that is he needs the rest. Like, a doctor's orders needs the rest because he's still going through his recovery. And, like, he's just afraid of, like, if I go to sleep in the hotel room, then, you know, maybe I wind up oversleeping and I don't get to the stadium on time. And so there are little things that he's still got to do to make sure he's in the best position to coach his team. And he's compromised. So, like, voluntarily, he wears a mask in places where people aren't wearing masks anymore for the most part. And I think that's why it's been so frustrating for him that the vaccination rate isn't where it was for other teams early on. Now, they've gotten better over time, but he's done everything he possibly could to try and get his players to understand that it's not just the right thing for themselves personally, it's the right thing for everybody, and that they're actually putting their head coach at risk by pushing back on the vaccine. They even brought in guys, one of the African American doctors who worked on the Moderna vaccine, they brought her in to speak to the team and answer any questions they have. And so, like, imagine doing that. And then you have, like, somebody like Vontaze Sweat saying, "I'm still collecting information."
Yeah, it's like, you know what
I
mean? Like,
I brought you the person who created the vaccine. Like, I put that person in front of you. Like, what more information?
Well, that person, so that's why the person wants the money from all the people taking the vaccine.
Right.
Yeah, the people on Reddit know far more. All right. So, what's the vibe you got from Rivera in terms of his plan on personnel for this game, playing starters, things of that nature?
Yeah, I think their starters are going to play quarter and a half. It's always a feel thing for coaches in these sorts of situations. Sometimes if they like what they see, they'll pull guys out faster. If they think guys need more work, they'll leave them in. But the sense I got is the starters are going to play for Washington and probably for a quarter and a half. And, you know, if both Cam and Mac play, that's going to create a really interesting, I think, tell in the Patriots quarterback situation. Because if I'm the Patriots, I want to see Mac against the Washington starters.
Definitely.
Don't you?
Yeah. Sure. There's no question.
Against that defensive line. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, it's like, I think how quickly Mac gets into the game. Now, whether he starts or not, we'll see. But I want to see if Belichick's going to make an effort to get Mac Jones in there when Washington's ones are still in the game. Because I think, based on what I know, I think Rivera and his coaches are going to give the Patriots a chance to do that because
they communicate, right?
To be in the game long enough.
Yeah, they coaches respect each other.
The
yeah.
coaches communicate before these preseason.
A lot
games.
Of times they do. Yeah, and and I think Rivera and my sense is Rivera and Bill have a good enough working relationship. Rivera works on like the coaches subcommittee,
right?
And Bill's been like sort of an advisor to that, which is, you know, the coaches subcommittee works on the rules and that sort of stuff. So they at least like have, you know, a good working knowledge of one another. They've both been head coaches in the league for a long time.
Right.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all if I mean, going into this game, they, you know, they compare notes and say, okay, like how long are you keeping your guys in? This is how long I'm keeping my guys in. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that was part of the equation here.
It is. That's something I've learned this year. I didn't know coaches did that. That's interesting. And if I'm Mac Jones, welcome to the NFL playing against that defensive line. First round picks. Every single one of the defensive linemen, first round picks, and that Chase Young with another year under his belt.
He's just going to be a monster this year.
Oh, he's a monster.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with Bert. Thank you so much. He's been around the league. Lots of questions for him. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
On the Sports Hub, Kutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
For me, odd jobs, I worked at a chicken shack when I was 16 years old. As a matter of fact, growing up, all my life, I'd worked on our cattle ranch. My dad, one summer, I was like, Dad, I don't want to do that, man. I'll see if I can go get paid, because I didn't get paid for doing that job. That was like auto. Anyway, so I worked at a chicken shack, and I learned how to clean chicken. And I could do it blind over and over, and I'll never do it again. So I appreciate everybody that does that type of work, because it got old quick. So I did that for a while, and finally one day he let me work the window. I get to work the window was here. This is the top of the window. So I would stick my head through. That was awesome. But I did get paid better, so it was good stuff. Appreciate you guys.
Then he walked out.
We just have the random Dan Campbell quote of the day.
Well, they do it on ESPN.
Oh, do they really? So I just, like, he's got to be, like, covering a cat in a bathtub. Like, at some point, like, he's just like, starts, like, because I don't even know what led into that question.
Probably nothing.
But have you noticed, and you
he's
probably.
Great, man.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Serious.
Oh,
well, here's the thing, though.
Let's ask him about it.
I think he's smarter than people think. And
no,
I think he
is.
I think he revels in the fact that people think he's a dumb job.
Okay, we're talking to Bert Breer from MMQB. Now, you've been all around to the camps, and listen, the Lions didn't get the guy they wanted. They wanted the guy from Iowa State, but they got Dan Campbell. And is there something to be said, because Dan Campbell's going to be a star this year. He's going to have a lot of these press conference moments. Is there a thought that this is a lot better and maybe needed after the Patricia experience?
Yeah, I think that they felt like they needed to improve the environment in their building, which is why they brought Chris Spielman back.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, Chris Spielman's job has been to unify the business side and the football side and kind of, like, look at the climate in the building. And so I think one of, like, his charges with, you know, helping in the hiring process was find people who are going to promote a better environment in the building where people want to go to work there. And again, like, I hate to continue to kill Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, but coming out of that, like, I know that there was a feeling in the building, like, we have to create an environment where players want to come to work. And I think Dan Campbell's done that. Like, I think that that's a play. Like, if you talk to the players there, you know, you see some of the goofy stuff, like the up downs and everything else at practice, but you know, you get the sense that the players really like coming to work and other people in the building really like coming to work. And, you know, you could even look at, like, and I'm sure you guys saw the war room, right? Like on, yes, on the night of the draft.
Big belt buckle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looked like a frat house. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's sort of the idea here, at least in the front end. Now, will it amount to wins? Who the hell knows? You know what I mean?
Well, no, because they don't have any talent, but yeah.
Right. But I mean, like, that's all going to come down to whether or not they get the right players in the building and all of that. But, you know, I do think that, like, you look at it and, like, you know, the first job for them was to create the right environment. And I think they've started to do that. And one other thing that's interesting about that staff, look at the makeup of that staff and how many ex-players there are on.
Aaron Glenn,
right? Mark Brunell's the quarterback's coach. Anthony Lynn, like, I think there are more ex-players than, you know, non-ex-NFL players in that staff, which is sort of the opposite of the way Patricia's staff was.
Yeah, yeah. I can't tell you how bad he was there and how it started the minute he got there. I mean, an abject disaster. The like, made Adam Gase look like Bill Belichick. At least Gase convinced people for half a season he knew what he was doing. All right.
I just wonder if that environment equates to wins, because you still have to be somewhat of a football mind.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think ultimately, like, as long as a guy is himself, that gives him a chance. And, like,
that's a good point.
This is going to be determined by getting the right players and having the right schemes. And I don't know whether or not Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, the new guys in charge, they're going to be able to do that. But I think the worst thing a coach can do is go in and not be himself. And Dan Campbell, for all the criticism he's gotten, that dude is unabashedly being himself. Well,
we've seen so many Belichick clones. I mean, down from what's his face with the Jets back,
right? Mangini and Josh and you know what the problem with each of those guys was, guys? Like, it's when things were going well, those guys can be themselves. When things went wrong, a lot of times they would revert to being Bill. And that's when the players look at them and say, like, what the hell is this? You know what I mean? Because, like, when you're in the when things are wrong, that's like when you figure out who you are, right?
Yeah. And
like,
but just look at the coaches that are having success. Look at the coach with the Rams. Look at the coach. Look at Shanahan. I mean, these guys are polar opposites of Bill Belichick, which is not to say Bill Belichick has to change the way he does things. But if you go in with no pedigree and try to pull that, you're not going to be a modern coach. All right, so
I also think, Fred, one other point on that. I also think guys like Saban and Belichick are sort of grandfathered in.
That's what I meant.
If you tried to start a program that way now without all that, all those, like, kids just aren't coached that way anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like one thing if you've got all the championships, it's another thing if you don't. Like, it'd be really, I think if Bill was starting his program the way he did in 2000 and 2021, I think it would be much, much harder to sell the guy.
He wouldn't be able to do it. All right. So you've been to a bunch of camps. Were there any camps that stood out to you as being a little out of control, like a little worse? I know you probably went to the Giants camp. Is there any camps that seemed like things weren't going so well?
You know, so this is the time of year when everything's right because most of the teams are healthy and, you know, all of that. So it's a little harder to find that. But I think you certainly look at, like, Pittsburgh is one where they just, like, the offensive line, they lost Villanueva, they lost Pouncey, they lost DeCastro. They've got a quarterback who can't move the way he used to. And contrary to public opinion, like, there was a time when Roethlisberger was a real athlete back there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he really is anymore. And so the Steelers are a team that's just, I mean, they're relying on Ben for leadership on offense, and they're going to need to be really good on defense. And Tomlin always figures it out. Like, he hasn't had a single losing season in 15 years there. But, like, they were one team where you look at it and you say, God, they need, like, a bunch of different things to break right. And the Steelers have earned the benefit of the doubt. But they were one team that sort of stuck out to me that way.
Okay, real quick, because there's one that I don't know if you visited, but, I mean, there is a perfect example yesterday of one that's just out of control. And it's you should have expected it. The Houston Texans, did you hear about this, Fred, yesterday?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so they tried to shut down camp.
Well,
in order to keep the media out, wasn't that kind of their way of circumventing the rule that the media would be allowed there? They just said, well, we're going to end camp like a week or two early. What did they essentially do?
So the Patriots, actually, when I was covering the team, like there was some sort of fight over this at one point with us and the team. This was a long time ago. But basically the way it works is the media rules are, like, when you go, you can be in training camp mode. And when you're in training camp mode, then it's all the practices are open, but you don't have to open the locker room, right?
Yeah.
If when you go to the regular season, when you flip the switch and say, okay, we're closing down practices, now you've got to open the locker room to the media. This year, because there hasn't been approval on locker rooms opening, I think the Texans probably looked at it and said, well, since we don't have to open the locker room, there's no downside to us shutting practice down. So let's just say this isn't camp anymore. We'll shut it down. And, you know, obviously you see what happened. So I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, the NFL had, what happened was the NFL had to come out and say,
right,
no, you have no, to you practice. You have to keep this open. Yeah.
Right. And I don't know what the point in doing that is. I mean, that just feels like antagonizing the media for no reason.
It's because they don't obviously want questions about the S show Deshaun. That this whole entire offseason has been, not just with Deshaun, but the way that everything else has been handled from Easterby to, I mean, all of the ways and means of everything.
That brings me back to the Giants, because you had the fight where they had their starting quarterback on the bottom of a pile, and then you had Jason Garrett inform the New York media that they should call him coach, which went over great. Right. And are you getting any kind of feeling that Joe Judge... I'm getting a little Patricia feeling from him. Are you getting any of that from them?
I don't think... So, I don't think Joe is trying to be Bill. I think this is who he is.
No. I don't know if he's trying to be Bill. I'm talking about being a failure.
I mean... I think he's going to have to, like, I think he's going to have to succeed faster. If you're doing things that way, you have to succeed faster, because if you can't produce results, then players are going to start to look at certain parts of your program and say, well, why am I doing this if you're not even giving me results in the field? And so, you know, the way that they were aggressive in the offseason and the guys that they were, I mean, to go out and get Kenny Golladay and, you know, like bring in, you know, Kadarius Toney and Kyle Rudolph and do all the things that they did to, you know, Dory Jackson to kind of get answers on their quarterback and put themselves in a place to contend. I think there is pressure on Joe to produce this year. And part of it is that they were close to winning the division last year.
Okay, Bert, one last thing before we let you go, because if the Patriots for some reason don't make the playoffs, there is one amazing upside to that, and that is, as long as Bill Belichick is still the coach next year, they're for the first time I think ever
eligible
to be on Hard Knocks,
and they would be number one on the NFL's list easily.
That's my question, though. What do you think, because you obviously know all the people who are making the decisions about all this and you kind of understand the way that these guys think, what do you think would be more of a draw for HBO? Would it be for the first time going behind the scenes with the Patriots, or would it be whatever new team that Aaron Rodgers chose?
Ooh. Yeah, because if Aaron Rodgers went to the Raiders
or
the Raiders
or the Giants,
they could be compelled.
Or what if he went to the Giants?
Giants, yeah.
See, I mean, it's like immediately I thought, well, it's got to be the Patriots. It's a no brainer. But then I'm like, whoa.
So here's the thing is the Patriots, it would be cool if they did it. But I do think that these things take a level of cooperation from the team. Like, and I think, like, when we've seen Hard Knocks the last few years, there's some where it's obvious the team isn't cooperating all that much. Like, I watched the Hard Knocks premiere. I watched at least most of it from the other night. Like, it feels like the Cowboys aren't really letting them in anywhere, right? Like,
well, this is the first year that I've had no interest in watching Hard Knocks.
I mean, like, I watched it. I I don't know. John, did you guys watch any of it?
No. I saw the one clip of Ezekiel Elliott rapping Dak Prescott's present. Yeah. I mean, it was like a bad sitcom. I told the guys, it's like Kevin Can Wait, only less funny.
There was so much.
No,
like,
reason
so much
to watch it.
So much of it was like the music video montages. Like, I don't need to watch this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to watch guys like running through like special teams drills, like set to dramatic music. It just felt like as much as I think Jerry would want to let the NFL Films camera in to document everything, my guess is like Mike McCarthy's probably pushing back a little bit, which I think illustrates that you need a level of cooperation here. So if they went to the Patriots, would they get cooperation?
No.
That's why. No. That's why
Bill would hate,
especially if they forced him to do it. But, especially if it was like without Bill's blessing.
But they have to get some sort of footage of the coach, no matter what. So, I think even with the pushing back, that would be very, very interesting.
But they also have like editorial control. The teams do.
Did they used to not have that? Is that a newer thing?
No, I think they've always had it. I mean, I know the teams that have done it in the past. I know they'll at the very least they'll have the. They'll have the PR people review it.
They do. And then what the hell was Cleveland thinking?
Well, Cleveland's was amazing.
Oh like my God! They let him do everything.
That's the last good season. Was
what,
Cleveland?
What were the PR people?
Cleveland almost felt like it was like sabotage. It was like all right, like let's sabotage.
That's
Hugh,
a good point. Let's focus as much on Hugh Jackson as possible.
Oh, yeah.
To get him out of here.
And let's have the biggest star in the world be part of it. All right, Bert Breer. Senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist for the MMQB. Thanks for coming on a day early. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, man.
We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.